there's a young buck. His name is Job. He's 20-something. 20. How old are you? 22? Okay, Derek, I'm going to preach to you tonight, bro. We don't know how old Job is, but I'm going to put him in the mid-20s. He's, you know, your window kind of, okay? This young kid, Job, he's like Captain Joab. I like it. It just rings true. I mean, you know, and so something gets tapped in this young kid, Job. He's like, I want to go for it. So he makes an appointment with the king, King David, who happens to be his uncle. But he makes an appointment with his uncle, and he says, Your Honor, I'd like to give it a shot. I want to take on Zion. And David's like, well, Job, you're as welcome to it as anybody. Go for it. And Job's like, and this isn't in the story, but I can imagine. Okay, Job's like, well, Your Honor, could I have a map of the city? I'd like to, you know, kind of get the lay of the land and see how Zion's laid out and that kind of thing. And David's like, we have no map. Well, Your Honor, could I at least have a schematic drawing of the tunnel system so that when I get in there, I know where to go? We have no schematic. Well, Your Honor, how do I know when I get in the tunnel system, how do I know where to go? You are about to go where no man has gone before. Nobody's ever done it before. And if they did, they died trying. Because those guys in Zion know there ain't no way you're going to pull this one off, buddy. And so it's like, you're going to take your life in your hands on this one. And Joab decides to go for it. Now, we've read the text already, and it only takes about that much space in your Bible. The details are pretty skimpy, and we really don't know how Joab pulled this one off. We know he did it through the water shaft. That's all we know. So I'm going to apply my sanctified imagination. I'm about to give you my best guess at how Joab did it. All right. Now, if we get to the other side and I've got a few things, you know, wrong, would you cut me, be a little gracious to me and, you know, just like, you know, be nice. All right. When we know the whole story, you know, but, I'm going to guess my way through it. Guess number one, this is not a daytime job. I may be wrong, but I'm thinking you don't dig your way under the wall, get into the tunnel system while everybody's awake and, you know, doing business and watching you dig your way under the wall. I think it's a nighttime job. So I'm going to call it a 1 a.m. job. All right? Now, I don't know how Joab gets into the tunnel system. Does he dig or, you know, I don't know. But somehow he gets himself under the wall and he's inside the tunnel system now. And it's 1 a.m. They don't have waterproof flashlights. There's no light. Not only is it the middle of the night, but it's underground, under the wall. In other words, it is absolute blackness. You can't see anything. And if you're going to navigate the water shaft, you're going to be navigating territory that you have no idea where it's going, and you have no idea how to take it on. In other words, there is no book, there is no class, there is no conference you can attend, there is no mentor that can walk you through it. There's nobody can help you with this one, because nobody has any idea better than you how to take this thing on. There's only one way to do it. Walking in the blackness, leaning not by might or by power, but by my leaning on the Spirit of God. God, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. I have no idea where I'm going, but I am crying out to you, God, help me now. There's some here tonight. When I say this, you know what I mean. Sometimes God turns out the lights and allows us to enter a season of blackness. If that's ever happened to you, could it be he's training you to take on the water shaft? So now, in the blackness, and he's sitting in water, my guess is he has, where the spring goes under the wall, somehow he's able to get his way in at the entrance where the water goes under the wall. I don't know. That's my guess. So he's sitting in a pool of water that's, you know, flowing past him, and he is black. And all he can do is feel. I feel an opening going this way, and I feel an opening going this way. Oh God, if I choose the wrong way, I'm dead. I'm going this way. Okay. No, I'm just guessing on this one, Derek, okay? He's like, I'm going to do a reconnaissance mission. I'm going to hold my breath, go into the tunnel 4 feet, and then come to the top of the tunnel and see if there's air up there. Can I breathe in this tunnel? Reconnaissance, okay? So, goes in 4 feet, comes up to the top, tries to breathe, fills his lungs with water. He comes back out to the opening and he's caught. He's trying to get rid of all the water he's just swallowed. And he's like, it's airtight. Whoever designed the thing was thinking, And he doesn't know how long this tunnel goes. He doesn't know how, you know, what speed he'll be able to take it at. And he's got to make a decision in the darkness. Is it worth my life to give it a shot? And at about 1:15 in the morning in the blackness, Joab makes a decision. I'm going for it. I've always wanted something to die for. I'm going for it. Well, off comes anything going to slow him down. You don't take your sword with you. You know what I mean? Off comes, you know, all the equipment. He's probably down to his skivvies, okay? You gotta get lean, man.
words.
So now, oxygen. I need oxygen. Get some oxygen in my blood. And then he's one big breath. And he's in. And now he's clawing his way. He can't see a thing, but he's pulling on the stones and clawing his way along this thing, trying to get as far and as fast as he can with using as little oxygen as possible. And he's, you know, is he swimming or crawling or scrawling? I don't know what he's doing, but he's like, you know, just like whatever it takes to make distance through this tunnel. And just about the time that his lungs are gonna burst and he's about to pass out, something changes and his head comes above water and he can breathe. It is. I'm going up. It's 1:30. How does Job get up that water shaft? I don't know. I wasn't there. Okay, another theory. I don't think they provide a rope. I might be wrong. Maybe there's a rope just dangling down there and he just, you know, kind of pulls up on the rope and just, you know, I might be wrong. My guess is they pull the bucket up at night, wrap it up on the surface, put the covering over top the mouth of the thing, and, you know, it's nighttime. How do you get up this thing? I have only one idea of how you do it. You shimmy. You get this knee jammed against that stone, get this elbow in that crevice, get this one here, and then you jam your back against that stone and get a finger hold and then push your way up 3 inches, move this knee up to that stone there, get this elbow in here, and you kind of jam your body, find another grip, and push up 3 more inches, move to find another crevice, and these stones are damp and wet and slimy. You better be buff. You better be pumping some iron, Joa, because if you're going to take this thing on, you're going to have to be exercised. Beloved, to take on the water shaft, you have to be exercised in the Word. You have to be exercised in prayer. You have to be exercised in fasting, in the disciplines, in the grace of God. You got to have some spiritual muscle to work your way up this water shaft. Good thing I've been working out, Job says to himself. Okay, and now gets his hand on this stone, gets this hand on this stone, pushing his way up stone at a time. It reminds me of when Joshua took the stones out of the Jordan and made a pillar to the Lord and called it a memorial. The stone, the 12 stones were a memorial of when God had brought them through the Jordan into the promised land. I can imagine every stone Joshua putting his hands on, as a memorial before her God. Abba, you said in your word. And now he's like, he's starting to prophesy to himself. One shall chase 1,000, and 2 put 10,000 to flight. And he gets on this one here. I am the Lord who heals you. And you know, whatever. And he's like, and he's remembering, Lord, I remember what you gave Moses. And I remember what you gave Joshua. And with every stone, we are reminding ourselves of the goodness of God, the history of God, the promises of God, wrapping our fingers around another promise and pushing our way up 3 more inches. And Job is making his way up the water shaft. He gets up to the top and goes, there's a lid on it. They cover it at night. Okay, extra jam. Okay. Oh, that's right. That rock is right where I'm bleeding. Oh, that's killing, but I've got to. And he gets his knee in there, and he gets his elbow in his hand. And I got to get a free arm. I got to get a free hand. Okay, extra jam, extra push, and now, okay. And he pushes up with all his might. The thing is moving, and he's able to move the cover off the shaft. And somewhere around 2 a.m., up the water shaft pops Joab. Zion was not ready for the likes of a Joab at 2 a.m. Joab goes over to the gate. There's a couple guys guarding the gate, but they're mostly asleep. Knocks them off. That's easy. Now the hard part. How does this gate work? I've got to unlock this gate. How does the lock mechanism work? Sure would have been nice to have a full moon tonight, Lord. How does this thing work? And he pushes on the thing, and there's this metal on metal grinding squeak, and he's like, somebody calls, hey, what's going on down there? He freezes. Waits 5 minutes. Okay. I've got to figure out this lock. And he's like, and he pushes on the thing, and this loud squeal. And they're like, hey, what's going on down there? They're on to me. He hears some movement. They're coming to check it out. Adrenaline starts pumping through his system. I have got to figure out this lock. And so now he's pushing and shoving, and here they come, and he's like, and he gives it one big push, and something moves, and he pushes on the gate, and the gate begins to open. 2 inches, 3 inches, 4 inches. As that gate begins to open, there's a little troop of Israeli soldiers on the other side of the gate. They've been watching that thing, waiting for it to open. When they see it starting to open, they grab the thing from the outside and pull the gate open. One of them has a trumpet, a bugle in his hand. He blows the signal. Over the way, the whole Israelite army has been hiding out over across beyond the hill. When they hear the trumpet blast, the entire Israelite army rises up, rushes the gate, enter the stronghold, and the stronghold of Zion is taken in minutes. Joab doesn't take the stronghold, he only opens the gate from the inside. Somebody has to do the water shaft, Derek. dissipate from the inside. Once that stronghold is open from the inside, now the body of Christ can enter into their inheritance, and now the church can enter into something, because somebody went through the grueling, arduous challenge of taking on the tunnel system, taking on the water shaft, and opening the stronghold from the inside. We need some Joabs in this hour. Some mighty men and women of God that will set their face to a stronghold and say, this is my enemy, this I set my face against. And as we set our face against them, the Lord Jesus will beat down our foes before us and give us the strongholds that we face. And many times there can be a gate opening event that when that gate opening thing takes place, it opens up something for an entire region. And as I've looked at the thing, it seems to me, Pastor Eric, I don't know if I'm totally, if I've got it totally right, but it seems to me that an area needs to navigate its own water shaft so that if somebody in Alabama takes on the water shaft, that's not necessarily going to translate to Cape Cod. Somebody in Cape Cod has got to take some territory for Cape Cod. Somebody here has got to get ownership of a call of the Spirit of God that David sends out. He sends it out to the whole land. He says, whoever takes on the water shaft will be chief and captain. And the call of the Spirit to the church in this hour, it's not, God's not like putting your name on it, Derek, you're the man. What he's doing is he is saying to the whole church, whosoever. So every one of us tonight has an invitation from the Holy Spirit to set our face against an adversary and ask, Abba, would you help me in the power of the Spirit? This is my adversary. This is what I am after. Would you give me this stronghold? Let's just give ourselves to prayer. This message really, truly is for every person in the house. It's an invitation for every one of us. Whoever will take on the stronghold, whoever will take on the water shaft, I believe that God wants to give an assignment to every one of us. He would say to every one of us, this is the foe, the enemy that I want you to engage. This is the enemy I want you to set your face against. He's not giving you the whole thing. He's just giving you an assignment. What is it? Have you received it from the Lord yet? If not, just ask. Lord, I'm open. But you may be like me tonight. You may know the assignment. You may have clarity in your heart. Oh, I have an enemy. I have an enemy. An adversary. There's a mountain in front of me. There's a stronghold in front of me. And Lord Jesus, we set our faces by your grace against the challenges, the mountains, the strongholds, the powers of darkness that resist your kingdom, that mess with our homes, that mess with our families, that mess with our communities, in our local churches. Lord, we set our faces and ask, Lord, would you cause the spirit of Joab to come upon me? Would you put a zeal in my spirit that you would, by your grace, enable me to take on the challenge that you have placed before me. Let's just pray in the Holy Spirit. Just make it personal. Just personal for you. Don't concern yourself about anybody else in the room right now. What is the call? What is the assignment? What is the invitation of the Holy Spirit to you personally? To be a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God. If you don't mind my just drawing one more time on the glory of the resurrection season that we're stepping into in this next week, I would just like to brag for a moment on our champion, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went into the depths of the darkness, who descended into hell itself, and who took on the tunnel system of hell, rose up through the shaft of hell, and up through the shaft he came on resurrection morning, and he released from that prison house the captives that were held captive by death and by Sheol, and he arose triumphant. He opened the gates of hell from the inside. And now our champion, if Job doesn't inspire you enough, go ahead and look at your champion, Jesus Christ, who has gone before, has opened the gates of hell from the inside. And now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would empower your people to follow in the footsteps of the Master himself. Lord, you may cause us to descend into darkness. You may take us into some kind of pit. You may take us into some kind of a watery grave, but through the power of the Spirit, we want to transverse this thing and find ourselves to that water shaft and rise up in the power of the Spirit. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be exercised in the Word, exercised in prayer, exercised in fasting, that we might have strength in the inner man to be able to navigate the dark places, and leaning on the Holy Spirit, immersed and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and now rising up in the grace and the power of our Master himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, with your anointing, to rise up in this water shaft and open the gate from the inside. Cause us to enter into your triumph in this hour. And I just want to ask, Lord, for the captives on the Cape, those that are held captive to affliction and infirmity and disease, I am setting my face tonight against this thing, and I am asking, Lord, that you would give us victory over the stronghold of affliction and infirmity and disease. And go ahead, you just add your stronghold to it. Whatever you're asking God for, we ask you, Lord, give us these strongholds in Jesus' name.